Lucas on Life.
Hello, welcome to Lucas on Life here on Premier Christian Radio. Happy Sunday to you. Thank you so much for joining me. Now, regular listeners will perhaps remember that maybe a couple of months ago, I talked about evangelism, sharing our faith. Well, I'd like to talk about it again this evening. A recent survey reveals that a majority of UK non-Christians actually know a Christian. Nearly 7 in 10 non-Christians report that they personally know someone who is a follower of Jesus, a practicing Christian. Perhaps most of those Christians are either family members or friends. And rather encouragingly, most non-Christians who responded to the survey enjoy the company of the Christian that they know. 3 out of 5 say they enjoy being around their Christian friend or family member always or most of the time. Not sure what's happening with the other 2 out of the 5 or what those Christians are doing perhaps to be disagreeable. But all of this leads me to a question. Why aren't we having more impact? In these days of terrifying and fearsome headlines, I think we all know that the good news is urgently needed. So, are we shrinking back from actually talking about Jesus with those around us? Evangelism is our discussion point tonight. Staying overnight at a bed and breakfast in Australia during a preaching visit, Kay and I found the room pleasant, the bed comfortable, but the breakfast, well, it was really rather awkward. We began the day parked around a large kitchen table shared with the other guests in the B&B. The sprawling oak table was laden with home-cooked treats, guaranteed to shatter the will of the hardiest dieter, which I am not. Piping hot fresh ground coffee, a stack of fluffy pancakes. It seemed rude not to eat 3 of those heavenly cranberry muffins, and I'm extremely polite, so I did, because the food, well, it was an utter delight. The awkwardness came from the company that we were sharing. Our little breakfast gaggle included a couple of wildly enthusiastic evangelists. Their white-hot passion was undoubted and quite unnerving. With no idea that we were believers, their eyes glowed with joy as they breathlessly chattered away about their vital mission to save the world. No details were spared during that lengthy breakfast. I tried to concentrate on the moral perplexities of reaching for a 4th muffin while in the company of strangers, but to no avail. I had to give them my full attention, so animated were they. On holiday, they were even cutting their break short so that they could hurry back home to resume their mission. And their aims were lofty. Nothing less than community transformation was their goal. Their words were sliced with urgency, fueled by passion, and they were even planning a float for a local carnival parade to encourage others to come into the fold and join them in their work. And this talkative pair were far more than just talk. They even bore some physical scars with pride, delighted to have suffered for their cause. But they made little of their struggles and insisted that the pain was nothing compared to the surpassing privilege of being involved in their beloved work. And their work? They were cactus stabbers. Yes, you heard that correctly. Show them a cactus and they'll show the cactus a knife. Now I know some further explanation is required. Their locality in the Australian outback is infested with Optunia robusta, the wheel cactus, a prickly, fast-growing thug of a species that overruns everything in its path. It spreads at an alarming speed and creates all kinds of problems for animals, including hindering them from grazing. The species has been officially declared a noxious weed in Australia and has contributed to the loss of billions of dollars due to the damage it inflicts. It truly is a menace. It has to die. And so, our excited new friends were on a mission not to save souls, but to inject those rubbery foes with the cacti equivalent of a weed killer. Their work was extremely hard graft. The spiny cactus fights back, and the livid scars on their arms confirmed this. Undeterred, they had declared all-out war on those wretched Triffids. In Cactus terms, they are serial killers. I was impressed by their white-hot zeal as they talked on so animatedly and felt the stirrings of an inkling to jabber-rubber plant or two myself. Passion is contagious. Having never contemplated assaulting cacti before, I was surprised by my own interest. But I also felt quietly ashamed. You see, I used to be quite the evangelist myself years ago. My youthful enthusiasm didn't win any prizes for subtlety, but my mantra was simple. I was not ashamed of the gospel. I had a message about a tree, actually, a tree that carried the poison of fallenness, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And my message was also about another, better tree, one planted at Calvary, the cross of Christ. Anyone with the misfortune of sitting next to me on a plane was considered a worthy target for my sharing, which usually meant that they were subjected to my breathless monologue. I was high on enthusiasm and crassness in equal measure and was quite oblivious to the fact that the person sitting next to me in seat 32B was asleep, having swallowed a dangerous number of pills, so desperate were they to escape me, or equipped with earplugs, or even pleading with the flight attendant to ask if a parachute was available for them or if an ejector seat could be made available for me pronto. But back at that breakfast, as I stirred my porridge and heard that fixated pair who loathed those pesky plants and loved annihilating them, having even taken early retirement, enabling them to volunteer more time to their work, I wondered, why had all gone relatively quiet on the gospel front for me? Why am I no longer quite so vocal about my faith? In terms of evangelism, have I lost my voice? How come that they made more noise about their genocidal approach to plants than I made of my convictions about eternity? Superficially, I had some answers to the questions about my evangelistic quietness. For one thing, I'm in reaction, swinging pendulum-like away from the buttonholing, script-reading monologues that I used to subject people to. We all tend to think that we're reasonably balanced, but the truth is that we are not centred in truth, but are living in reaction to what has gone before, or what we've done before. Generally, we're extremists, veering away at speed from an excess that is equally, if not more excessive, at the opposite end of the spectrum. That said, I do acknowledge my lack of subtlety, and I don't want to go back to rattling on like a salvation salesman on Duracells, rushing to proffer answers before anyone has had the chance to ask any questions. My quietness is the fruit of maturity. I try to insist, thereby sanctifying my silence. I'm just more grown up now. Besides, I'd heard a few sermons where the famous quote, "Preach the gospel and if necessary, use words," has been used. Excellent. That perfectly justifies me staying tight-lipped about Jesus. I just need to quietly live the Christian life, demonstrating good works, but never feeling the need to offer good words. But as I dug deeper and meandered around the mysterious shadowy caverns of my heart and mind, I discovered something that I find very difficult to confess here. I realized that there were times when, subconsciously, I didn't actually want people to become Christians. There. I've said it. Right here on Premier Christian Radio. Now please, postpone the stoning for a few moments. A further explanation is tricky if I'm dodging bricks. I've gone through seasons when the fish symbol, beloved of believers, apparently symbolised the piranha, when so many Christians acted like predators with razor-sharp teeth. I didn't want to have a hand in creating yet another one of those most dangerous of species, an unkind zealot armed with a Bible and a sense that they're on a mission from God. Then there were periods when so many Christians I encountered seemed to be just a little disjointed, tilted into unattractive oddness by their faith. Did I really want to lead someone else into a potential twilight zone of weirdness if they embraced the way of Christian discipleship? And my heart weighed heavy for those, too many of them, for whom being a Christian had become an intolerable burden. They spend their days shoved around by a barrage of insistent ought shoulds and should nots, hotly and desperately in pursuit of a purpose-driven life. Laden down with angst, they lug their faith around like a dead weight. I didn't want to unwittingly sentence others to become like them. Of course, the truth is that my silence is anything but golden. I still believe that Jesus, far more than a ticket to eternal bliss, is exclusively the way to find true life today and tomorrow, as he shows us what being healthily human is all about. And if some of our churches breed strange, anxious apprentices, then we must ask what's wrong with our message, because rather obviously, there's nothing wrong with Jesus. On the contrary, he still offers relief to the burden, not the addition of life-sapping weight. And so my breakfast encounter with the cactus stabbers brought me challenge and clarity too. Okay, so I've been really honest tonight about some of my hesitations about evangelism. And actually, I've realized that some of those hesitations, well, they were just flat wrong. Let me say it again. Just because there are a few Christians that are quite strange or filled with anxiety, that doesn't change the value of our message. Jesus is the way to life. He is the best. The good news is still the answer. And so, all that said, as a result of that breakfast, I want to renew my confidence in the gospel. Yes, I'll say it again. It's lamentable that there are followers of Jesus who are hostile, odd, and agitated, but that doesn't make the truth any less true. I'd like to be a little more ready, willing, and able, not only to have a life that points to Jesus, but gently speak words that light up the pathway towards him too. And what about that famous quote about preaching the gospel, if necessary, use words? It's commonly attributed to St. Francis of Assisi, famous not only for chatting with passing squirrels, but also for giving everything away to the poor. When you offer the clothes off your back, literally, like St. Francis did, it's not likely that you're going to be short of opportunities to share Jesus. And actually, the quotation is a misquotation. What St. Francis actually said is that it's no use Christians talking about their faith if they don't live their faith in the journey of life. His saying is not a call to silence, but to action that is far more arresting than a breathless torrent of evangelistic spiel. And in fact, Francis would visit 3 or 4 villages in one day just to speak about Jesus. After our breakfast with the cactus stabbers ended and I wished our new friends well in their ongoing murderous mission, I decided that I want to embrace a little more passion and clarity of my own. In not wanting to be brash about Jesus, I certainly don't want to be ashamed of him either. I decided that I'd like to have a winsome enthusiasm that sparks interest, not fear. And although I'm not going to abuse the fact that the person sitting next to me on the plane is truly a captive audience, the ejector seat and parachute are not actually available, I'd like to genuinely offer a prayer of availability when I get on a plane, inviting God to allow me perhaps to be of help to a fellow passenger, rather than just provide me with an empty seat next to me so that I can stretch out a bit more. I mean, a little more comfort would be nice, but a genuine moment of service and sharing would be better. I'm not going to dash out and slap a fish sticker on the back of my car, but I'd like to be more willing today to stick my head up above the postmodern parapet and be glad to be known as one of Jesus' friends, without fear. And speaking of fear, I'm just a little concerned. I have a cactus here in my home, and it's looking decidedly nervous. Thanks so much for joining me this evening, and I'd like to invite you to be with me next Sunday at 8, Easter Sunday, the day that we celebrate that Christ is risen. I would like to share some special Easter music. By the way, don't worry, I'm not singing it myself, and then reflect on that beautiful episode where Jesus joins a couple of people who are walking home to Emmaus, feeling rather dejected and confused about all that had happened in Jerusalem, and he quietly shows up, and their lives are changed forever. See you next week.
Focus on Life.